Hey guys, before we get into this episode, we talk a lot about drafts and a lot about the upcoming update for drafts, but actually the update is here. So if we talk about some things that are forthcoming with drafts, it's actually already out. Anyway, here's the show.
So Jeff, how's your note taking going on? How's that happening for you?
So
last episode we had this big old long section about how you decided Bear was the best app of all time. How's that going?
Well, Bear's not a bad app per se. There's just one thing that there's a couple of things about it that I'm not a huge fan of after the last recording that we did.
Well, let me see. I hang on one second. Let me see if I can get somebody to help you out. One second.
Okay.
Hey, Tim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did somebody say note-taking?
Yeah, Tim. Jeff seems to have an issue with note-taking, and I know you, Tim Nahumick, are a drafts person like myself that and love the app Drafts. So let's see if we can convert Jeff over to the light side of the force.
So I was going to say, Jeff, if your note-taking problem is that you're not using Drafts, I mean, we can solve this pretty quickly.
Yeah, you go to the App Store, go to the search button, type in Drafts, hit the download button. Probably looks like a cloud because you've downloaded it so many times before, and then you just open it and start using it. Problem solved.
So Tim, it's nice to see you. Hi.
Yeah. Hi.
I have Drafts on my app, on my iPad and my Mac and all my devices. So that's already taken care of. So
good. Step one.
Do we want me to like explain what my thought process is, or are we just gonna?
Well, hang on. First, I think you owe everyone an explanation on why you don't like Bear this week.
It's not that I don't like it. All right. There's two things. There's one thing I don't like, which isn't a huge deal, and then there's the actual reason of why I'm considering switching from Bear to like Drafts. So the first thing, the reason I don't like it is because I bought the Logitech Combo Touch after our last conversation. I got it from my dad because I helped him with some website stuff, and that was like his payment to me, which was great. So if you're listening, thank you, Dad. That happened, and it's been fantastic. I actually really enjoy using a trackpad with my iPad. Who knew? I mean, you know, if only there was somebody that was like a co-host of a podcast that I was on to tell me how great it was to have a trackpad. I mean,
yeah, I don't know anybody.
Even a guest that could tell you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that uses the iPad for real work. You can only use a Mac. The only way to get real work done is to own a Mac Pro with the $6,000 display.
I want everyone to clip this and share it on Twitter with him. I want this to be the next.
That's fine. No, it's true. I'm sitting in front of my Mac Pro with $6,000 display. It's completely tweaked out. And yeah, nice. Yeah. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
You have to use a special cloth to clean it. That's great.
No, I didn't get the special cloth version. I got the regular version. I'm not a monster.
Gotcha.
But okay. Anyways, I guess I can grab this iPad and over here and try using this iPad for a little while. So let's try and save whatever I was doing here, because this is not funny at all.
So, all right. So because I have this new trackpad keyboard, one thing that I have noticed is that Bear does not have tremendously good trackpad support like some other apps. I found a lot of lag when I'm trying to like scroll or click on something or, you know, things in that. And like, I'm sure it's going to be fixed over time. So like I said, this isn't like a huge deal breaker for me, because I'm sure over time, with this being such a newer kind of feature, it's going to take some time for Bear and other Apple developers to make the switch over to fully support it without any issues. I fully understand that, and I'm not going to blame Bear for that being the single reason why I'm considering moving away from it.
So my takeaway right now is the biggest reason why you're not using it, the single biggest reason, is because they refuse to implement good trackpad support.
That's what I hear.
Please continue.
Yeah, God. Yep. Yeah. All right. You guys are fantastic.
So Drafts already has that in. So, okay. All right.
Yeah. Continue. Yeah. Got it really quickly, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Drafts got it really quickly. Greg does really good work. I wish I could give him more. In fact, I probably will give him more money. But the main reason is because I've realized that to go from, I capture everything in Drafts. Like, that part has been a system in my thing for a long time. I use it for Scratchpad. I use it for ideas. I use it for blog posts. And then I'll send it over to Bear if I want. You know, that's what I have been doing for the last couple of weeks. But then I realized, like, I wonder if there, like you can store notes in Drafts.
Oh yeah.
And I think that I just need to like get my head wrapped around it and kind of like cut out the middleman.
Yeah. So I was just gonna say, when you send it over to Bear, what do you do with it at that point?
Make it pretty looking. I mean, and try and like store it. I mean, like,
okay, but so how are you filing it? How are you storing it?
With tags. I mean,
oh, okay. So that's something that Drafts supports. So just add tags to your drafts and you're done, sir. Like this is easy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't see the issue. I think you're just causing problems, Jeff.
There's a lot of people that will use Pretty Apps, and don't get me wrong, like Things, and I'm not knocking Things. Things is a very pretty app.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be for everybody.
Yeah,
but it's a pretty app. OmniFocus is a less pretty app. I think everybody can agree on that. It's not bad, but it's less pretty.
Especially on the iPad.
Right. It gets the job done, though. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Notes is kind of okay.
Ugh.
Right?
The what it looks like in dark mode is pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the stupid paper background that they refuse to get rid of.
Oh, that's probably... Maybe that'll come in iOS 14. But the thing with Drafts is it's not bad. Is it the prettiest looking note-taking app in the history of ever? Of course not. Why? You know, it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's about quick capture, capturing your ideas. You can turn that into all sorts of systems, and doing that through workspaces and tagging things, right? Tagging all your drafts. You know, it doesn't have to be all of them, but the ones that you want to file, those are the ones that you would tag. And then you can have these different modules, as we kind of talked about the last time I was on, that's really where it's at for you. I think that you're sending everything over to Bear and you want it to be pretty. And the only reason why I would say use Bear in this instance is maybe if you're going to do some image stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That's about it. And I'm sure at some point in time, image support may or may not come to Drafts, but that's a different thing entirely we could talk about later. But yeah, I think for you, what you're doing right now, you're actually creating more work for yourself. And I don't know about you guys. I hate doing more work.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So that, like, I've come to the same realization that you're kind of explaining here, Tim. And yeah, I am adding more steps that are unnecessary. Like I said, I should cut out the middleman and kind of find a way to make Drafts work for me. So I'm glad that you're here because you can kind of help me with that, and we can talk more about it, especially since Drafts just recently passed its 1 year mark for Drafts 5.
It's been more than 1 year.
I was going to say, it's actually been 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was living at my last place, and it's been over, it's been 2 years.
How time has flown. Okay, I guess I haven't realized.
Yeah. Yeah, time flies when you're in a pandemic.
Or stands still. I'm not entirely sure how it works.
Yeah.
It's still March, right? Like, is that?
Yeah, it's March, like, okay. 87th.
I thought it was August. I don't know.
All right. So, I mean, all right. So it's been 2 years now. Like, in your opinion, Tim, like, where are we at with Drafts? Like, since we last spoke, I mean, it's been a minute since you were on the show. And I'm kind of curious of, like, you know, what your thoughts are on the state of Drafts now.
So I, this is going to sound kind of the lamest thing ever. Drafts has been at a relentless pace, like basically once a month, he's been adding new features. Right. And they may not be like the most monumental thing, as far as features go, right. It's little things. You know, since we last talked, I think we talked a little bit about, Markdown. He did a huge update of that and did Critic Markup. And then Drafts 15 came out. And, you know, obviously we started with Drafts 5, we're at Drafts 15, and it's just the version number. He doesn't call it Drafts 5 anymore. It's just Drafts, right? Because Drafts 4 as the app is basically gone away. So realistically, Drafts is just Drafts. And it's just gotten a lot of iterative features over time, and it just made the user experience better. So when you're talking about things like trackpad support, it added that. It added all the context menus, which are phenomenal on Drafts. Mm-hmm. Now I'm using that a lot on my phone, occasionally on the iPad, but a lot on my phone. And just those little user features that are just minor improvements here and there, you know, fixing bugs occasionally, but it really just makes the whole user experience better. So where we've gone from when, you know, 2 years ago when DraftSwim came out, we've added a bunch of features, but there's a lot more polish. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more usable. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, I think, or even next week, Drafts version 20 is coming out, and it's going to have some extra features that when you look at it, kind of sounds a little, you know, it's like, okay, why do I need this? But then when you start thinking of what that allows you to do going forward, it's a huge power update. So he's been doing that where sometimes the updates are small and then sometimes the updates are big. It's been really great to see. And it's one of the very few apps that in the subscription model base is really delivering on the whole subscription model.
Yes.
You're not just getting an update every so often. You are getting an update all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really like the switch to that model for something like Drafts, because you can have that be all year round support. And this is his full-time job now. He's not doing any side work. He's only working on Drafts. So it just makes that experience better.
Yeah. And I like you mentioned, like subscription-based apps, I'm subscribed to, not surprising at all, I'm subscribed to a bunch of apps, and none of those apps get as updated as frequently as Drafts does. I'm on the test flight for it, and it's constantly, like, the test flight is constantly getting updated, which is really nice. Like, it's really cool to see it. It's also one of the only, like, apps that I use in like my production life that I actually feel comfortable using the test flight version of as like an actual production app. So that's I don't know. I'm pretty excited about that. So Jeff,
yeah,
what is keeping you right now from thinking, because we've done this before, we've talked through using Drafts a couple of times, and what makes you always move away from it as like your main text editor?
So I was actually thinking about this before we did the show to try and like find a way to kind of explain it. And I think it's primarily because like I can't wrap my head around it because of how modular the system can be. You know, it's not like a plug and play kind of system. It is what you make of it kind of system. So I have to basically just put in the work to allow for me to have a system in place that is easy. Because like basically like where I'm at right now with Drafts and where I have been for like the last year is that it's basically where I go to start text and you know, maybe send it over. But like 95% of the time, I just leave it in my inbox untagged without any kind of semblance of system order or anything like that. And I just kind of need to find a way to make it a habit and make it a consistent thing where I, you know, either start a draft and have the tags automatically there, which I, you know, I did some work before we did this show, by the way, which we can get into, you know, once we get a little more into the weeds. But like, I have basically created a system where I can have, you know, start a draft for a specific thing, like a blog idea. I have it have the idea tag and the blog tag. And I, you know, have it start with blog idea colon space, and I can just start entering the idea I have immediately. And then that's already saved with tags and already, you know, with a workspace for blog, I have that ready to go. So like that was kind of like my first step into like getting it into a way where it's easier for me to start something. And the best part is that I can create a shortcut and have it immediately open up Drafts, run that action and do those kind of things. So I think I just need to make more of those kind of common reasons of why I would open up Drafts and have it automatically start tagging things, as opposed to me just like opening up Drafts, creating a new note, and then leaving it in inbox untagged without any order or intentionality. So like that's the first thing.
And I think that's what I would suggest for really anyone, right? Not only am I going to try to help you, I'll help others too. If you're unsure of where to kind of go, like very similar to how, you know, other even like task management apps or even other note-taking apps, you have different buckets for your life, right? You have stuff for your blog, you have stuff for work, you have stuff for personal. And those could be three simple buckets to start with, mm-hmm. and you can go from there, right? Like I have a journal in there. I have a general one. I have a writing one. I have a coding one, I think, too, that doesn't really get used a whole lot, but we'll talk about that later. So yeah, it really is it's one of these things where you can actually spend some time creating these buckets for your life and how you interact. Things, if you've ever used that, would call that an area. And that's where you put the projects and tasks that go under that. Mm-hmm. So I would start there. And then with that, start thinking of tags that you use within those areas of your life. So let's take blogging, for example, right? You could have a blogging workspace and you could have a blog tag, an ideas tag, a post tag. You could have a myriad of different tags and names in there that you want. And that one workspace can house those specific tags. You know, for work, if you want to have that, you know, like you could have it. I know some people that have used drafts where you can have little notes that you keep for each person, right? And so when you open up a work tab or workspace rather, for each of the inbox and flagged and all that stuff with tabs at the top, you can actually have the different things where, you know, maybe you have a note for each individual person and you've tagged those notes and you can see those tags. And it's just a way to organize visually and put in the proper buckets, the notes for your life. And I think in this way, if you're struggling with where to begin and where to go with drafts, start by thinking of those things first. What are the various different segmented portions of my life that I can start organizing my notes? And I think that'll help you a little bit more because you can go in with all your unfiltered or untagged drafts, and then you can start multiple selecting those, add a tag, and they're just going to go into that workspace then. And it's a way to clear it up, much like you would do a weekly review.
Yeah. So that was kind of the next thing I did, is that I decided to do some much needed spring cleaning. And it turns out I was underestimating how many times I've used drafts basically just as like a scratch pad where I would, you know, take something that might be in like rich text and I need to put it into plain text, and like drafts is kind of perfect for that, especially when I'm doing work on my Mac, where I will do that and paste something in and then copy it back out for various reasons. And it turns out like 90% of my current notes in my inbox were basically scratch pad, which were not needed to save for any reason, because I've already used it. It was just taking up space. So I have like maybe 10 different notes right now in my drafts workplace right now, just because of like, I was basically using it for scratch pad uses and then, you know, putting it out somewhere else. So the next step I have to do is like import my bare notes into drafts and kind of consolidate those, which is like the next thing I want to do. But before I really wanted to do that, I wanted to do overload of like organizing it and having a system in place before I like start putting all these notes in there.
Yeah. One of the things that I talk to multiple people a day, probably about drafts. It is just kind of my thing, but even for myself, I regularly have to go through, and I'm kind of due for a big overhaul of it. You know, like I have a boatload of actions in there. I have a boatload of workspaces and drafts and stuff in there. I haven't counted. I'm not going to, but it's stuff where I recently talked to a friend of mine, a different Jeff, and he was like, you know, I need to go through and reset this up. And so what I suggested to him was like, okay, hey, make an action group that's, you know, keep, and then start moving all the actions you actually use on a regular basis into your keep one, and then get rid of everything else. Just get rid of it. If you haven't used it in a long time, just get rid of it. And I think like one of the things a lot of people will ask me for tips and tricks. And one of my biggest tips with drafts is if you've used it for a while, do some spring cleaning, clean it up, right? Cause the one thing in any system, if you have a whole lot of clutter in it, it really drives you nuts. That happens for me in my own house. Recently, I actually did a 10-yard dumpster and filled that thing to the brim of stuff that I was trying to donate but can't now, or just stuff that I wanted to get rid of and couldn't. And so I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm done. I need this out of my life. And I cleared out trash. And in that same way, you can do that with drafts if you've used it before. If you're new to drafts, obviously you can set it up a different way, but if you've used drafts for a while, spring cleaning is probably one of the best things you can do, mm-hmm. just to have a different perspective. And your life changes, your needs change, your uses change. So change drafts to fit those. that's okay. That's the one great thing about drafts being modular. You can set it up for your life, no matter what life changes come your way.
Yeah. And one thing I've been doing in that regard is like, I've been creating a template group, like action group. So I'm basically like, I'm playing around with some JavaScript stuff that is really, really powerful. And as someone that like has no real coding experience, I'm basically just like picking and choosing things that are kind of what I want and then making changes. And turns out if you know your way around, you know, editing some JavaScript or not, you can basically kind of brute force your way into learning the basics of what JavaScript is and what, you know, you can use it in regards to like drafts. So I've created one that like creates a new note with a tag, and like I have it as like a template one, so I can like duplicate the action and then make the changes I want. Cause like right now it's just like, you know, draft title and tag name are like the two, like the title and the draft tag, as of right now. And if I duplicate, I can just change those because it's in all caps. And it makes it really easy for me, for future me, to really know what I'm doing. I have a new note with that enables like focus mode, a new draft in a specific workplace. One thing I was really proud of is that I managed to figure out a way to preview my notes. Like if I were to write a blog post, I can then preview it to make it look exactly like how it would look on my site, which is super cool. I was really happy to see that. See that I was able to do that. I'm really proud of myself as someone that like doesn't have like a coding experience, that I was kind of able to figure out the CSS section and you know, basically plug and play that stuff into a action I already found, and that kind of stuff.
I think for you know, anybody that's really coming to this new, or someone that hasn't done it in a while, even searching the action directory sometimes is probably the best place to start, because like talking about creating a new draft with tags and everything, if you have workspaces set up, there's actually Greg Pierce, the developer, put in a new draft in Workspace, and it basically presents you with a prompt, gives you all the workspaces that you want to choose from, and you can start a new draft with that tagging in place. And it kind of is effectively what you've had, right?
Yeah.
But there are actions that, you know, if you search the directory, you can install a ton of actions, even in the free version, that might get you what you need. So it's, and then, you know, honing some JavaScript stuff from there and modifying it is basically how I learned. I have zero coding experience otherwise.
Yeah. And you've helped me out in the past with some stuff that I was trying to get to work, which has been very helpful. So I appreciate that. So the one that you were talking about that Greg Pierce had, it I don't know if it's a bug or if it's something I don't have set up properly, but when I run it, there's no like list of like the workspaces I have on my Mac. I haven't tried it on my iPhone. Maybe it'll work on my iPhone, but for whatever reason, it doesn't want to work on my Mac, which is why I created the one that like basically creates a new note with tags. It was kind of a workaround, so we'll see. I don't know. I might file a report on it if I can't figure out how to do it. But
And I, again. For everybody listening, I'm iOS only. I don't even have the beta, or I think I might have drafts installed on my late 2012 Mac Mini that gets fired up once every like 3 months. I don't really use the Mac, so if it's a Mac versus iOS issue, I got nothing for you. But I think I have that one installed and it works well.
Yeah. Oh, I figured it out. Okay. So as you were talking, I was figuring it out. So I have workspaces in place, but I don't have any of the difference like tagging setup and stuff like that. I haven't gone that far. I basically just created areas and then I'm gonna go in and edit them. Turns out if you have no tags, they won't show up, so you have to add tags to it on your Mac or your whatever, and once you have the tags in there, then it will show up as an option. So that fixed it. So
yeah,
real-time follow-up, we're fine. Just add tags and make it, and it actually have a workspace.
File a bug report with yourself. There you go.
Yep. Yep. There we go.
The way workspaces work, it's not surprising that probably was the issue, that workspaces rely on tags. And it just like for me, I really enjoy workspaces a lot. That by far and away, still 2 years into drafts, is my favorite thing, just because I can change it for what I want to work in. Right. I can go from a journal to a blog post type environment, to a coding environment, you know, just with a couple of key presses for me, really. It's tailored to the way I want to do things and for what I do. It just, that's the whole thing for me with drafts that I really love. And so when, as you're setting these up, Jeff, I think once you start realizing here's what I need for blogging, here's what I need for my personal life, you know, task management, whatever you want to call that. Here's what I need for work. Like, you're going to be able to set these up and tailor them to your specific use cases. Mm-hmm. And even though it may not be as visually appealing in some cases as Bear, I think you're going to be okay. And, yeah, you know, going forward, as has been teased by drafts, there's going to be different syntaxes you can use and highlight things the way you want them to be highlighted. So that opens up the door going forward. And this is probably summer to early fall coming, where you're going to be able to change the syntax for yourself and how you work. So that feeds a whole bunch of ideas, which I'm not going to get into here because I have ideas of my own that I need to share. Mm-hmm. Those will come in time, but it's going to be really cool to see some of that stuff transpire to where maybe Bear has some, I don't know, polish in their visual look, but I can't get done with Bear what I can get done with drafts. That's why it's going to be where it's at for me always.
I think the reason I also want to move from Bear to drafts is because it's a one-stop shop for everything. Like, I can blog from it. I can create newsletters from it. I can send text messages from it. I can create email drafts from it. I can, you know, save references, you know, notes on it. I can do everything I want with it, and get it out to other things that I want to, that you can't necessarily do with Bear without a few extra clicks and taps and, you know, figuring things out kind of thing. Like I would much rather run an action than try and create a bunch of different shortcuts and remember what those shortcuts are and sharing them out. Because I think that the thing that drafts has over like shortcuts is that all the actions are built into the app and you can see them and you can you have them there as a frame of reference. It's not out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. It's insight. It's always in your mind. And, you know, if you do it right, you can, you know, you always know what you can do and where you can go with the text that you have inputted into drafts. So that's where I'm at right now. So
that's a great spot to be. I like it.
Yeah. So we've talked about workspaces and it's basically kind of different areas in your life, but like, what about groups? Like, do I need to create a group for each workspace I have? Or what are your thoughts and ideas with that?
So again, you can tailor it to you, but the things that I've done in the past is I've done this a couple of different ways. So I would say if you're starting out, having maybe one action group is fine. It's just that can get very cluttered very fast, right? So for me, I actually have a couple of different things. So I'll start with like journaling. I have an action group for journaling. I have an action group for writing and publishing. I have an action group for scripting and coding and stuff. But some of the action groups that I have are like hidden. So there's ways to do that within drafts that you can create an action group and have it hidden in the sidebar, but be able to be used. And where I use a lot of that is like key presses. So I'm a very heavy user of drafts when, using an external keyboard, either the Smart Keyboard Folio or in the setup that I'm actually talking to you guys from now that I've upgraded, I have a Logitech K780 keyboard. It's just a Bluetooth keyboard, but I can utilize that to open up a whole bunch of things. So where I have like keyboard shortcuts for inserting a link or an image link or taking lines of text and making it a list, I have all of those keys in that hidden action group. And then if I need that in one of these other groups, I'll make a duplicate action and store it there.
Oh, okay. That's a neat trick. So I was going to ask, like, if the action group that you have, all these like added actions aren't, like, maybe I'm wrong on this, but like, I thought like whatever one is active or is the only one that will allow you to like use keyboard shortcuts and stuff like that.
No,
really?
Yeah. So this is how you think, this is how I at least think of it. So I'll give you an example for my writing. I actually have two action groups that I use for writing. I have a writing one, which is the extended keyboard row, the one above the keyboard when it's popped up. And then the action group that's off to the side in the action list is my publishing items. So those are two separate action groups. But then in the background, anything that uses a keyboard shortcut because it's used throughout the system, I can use that in my writing. So I don't have to have those keyboard keys, you know, the ones that I use the keyboard shortcuts for. I don't have to have those in my writing workspace because I don't need to have them there. Like they just don't need to clutter it up. So yeah, anything that you can assign a keyboard shortcut to does not need to be in the active action group.
Oh, okay. Well, that's news to me. I did not know that. So that's super handy. Okay.
So what I would say is if you want to create a group, and really what I would say is probably a good divider is if you are really using a workspace for a specific purpose. So for you, for blogging, I would create one specifically for blogging. And then you can actually, in the workspaces manager, you can actually have it load that action group automatically. So when I'm in drafts, if I want to bring up my journal, I actually have some keyboard shortcuts assigned for that, which you and I could probably talk about offline. That's probably too advanced for some people, but I just do a keyboard shortcut of command three, and that brings up my journal workspace. Automatically loads the action, or sorry, the draft lists for the workspace, automatically assigns the journal workspace action row at the bottom. And then the action list off to the side is actually my journal one. So I've just assigned it in both of those places so that I can immediately jump into effectively my journaling app. And then if I want to blog, I think I do command seven because I use the ampersand symbol for that. It's clever. It's working out for me. Mm-hmm. So I'll do that and it brings up my writing interface. So having the action groups created specifically for those workspaces in a way is really good because you can load those specific subset functions that you want to use for that specific task. That's the reason why I like doing that. It doesn't mean you have to.
Right. Okay. We'll have to talk offline on that. Yeah. But like to kind of summarize like how I'm kind of thinking this now, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but like, so workspaces are the kind of different areas in your life. You know, think of it like a task manager, you know, personal, writing, work, you know, whatever, a scripting, coding, whatever. And then like with action groups, it's kind of like the different modes of work that you kind of do. So you could be doing work, but you could be writing for work, and you can have a writing one, you could have a blogging one, you can have, like a general one if you're just making quick scrap things or, you know, whatever. Like that's kind of how I'm thinking of the two differences between workspaces and groups is workspaces is the areas and groups are kind of like the different work modes or different work hats that you'll whatever that you'll put in with that.
Yeah. And I think it's more that workspaces are kind of the whole thing, right? That really is the whole package. And what he's done to change that over time here from the initial release to now, you are able to assign the action groups and the keyboard group. So you can put those things together. And so when you load it from even a shortcut, so one of the things that I've done with shortcuts is I've created a shortcut and it kicks off a specific album for me that I like to write with and or use dark noise. I have those options in there to just have some background noise in my ears. And then it'll load up drafts in the writing workspace and I can further extend that if I wanted to say, all right, hey, what do I want to work on? So give me the draft that I want to write in. And it sets a do not disturb for 60 minutes, right? So the workspace is really all encompassing where it has all of your drafts and the keyboard shortcuts or the actions that you want to have assigned at that time. And that changes, from my iPad to my iPhone, it's a little different for how that gets loaded. So and what's available. Like I have a markdown one that has specific markdown things. So the groups is more, those are your actions. And so how that really fits is workspaces are the area and of your focus and your groups are what actions you may take in that area of focus. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That works really well with my brain. So that works perfectly for me. So This might be a little bit too into the weeds, but like I have this problem, and I don't know if it's something that you guys, Chris, are you still there?
I'm still here. Right, I was cool. Just letting you guys talk.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure. Like, I don't know if either of you guys have this issue, but like for whatever reason, when I'm in drafts, for both iOS and Mac, when I try and clear all the filters, it automatically has it just to be untagged. Like, I don't know if it's something I might have screwed up, or like I'm almost positive it's something I might have done by accident or something. But like, whenever I hit the X to like clear filters, it does untagged automatically, and like there's no like option for me to do like any or like all notes kind of thing. Like maybe that's like inherently meant so that it will allow you to not have to have that problem. But like, especially on my Mac, whenever I clear filters, it automatically just chooses untagged, and like that's it.
Huh. That's weird.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if you set that as the default. Like, if you clear it, do you have your iPad or something next to you?
I have my iPhone. Hold on.
Okay. So clear it, and then hit the little three-button menu option.
So, all right. So I'm hitting clear, and it has it as untagged.
Okay.
Let me go.
So go hit the menu button, and it should bring up the list options section.
Yep. I'm there.
Okay, does it say like untagged in the tag filter section?
Yeah.
Okay, delete that.
Okay.
Make sure tag filter mode is set to, well, actually it doesn't matter. Just make sure nothing is in there and then hit the save as default.
Okay, that's done. Let's see.
So now if you clear out any filters you have, it should bring up every
hot dog. Hot dog, that did it. All right, that fixed everything. All right, so
and you didn't even need me on for that. Perfect.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take your thunder. I was just
no.
How did I do that? Like, I don't even remember doing that, but that must have been.
What now? One thing I do is I set up a workspace called Inbox, and that is everything that is specifically untagged.
Yeah.
So like you can, so when you go, so I create a workspace called Inbox, and in the tag filter, if you just type in untagged, there's like a little description about what that does underneath that. And the app will show any notes that aren't tagged. So most of the time as I'm adding things, it all just gets put in that inbox. And then I have the badges turned on just for the inbox workspace. So that way I know there's something in the inbox that I need to go in and deal with.
Oh, all right. So maybe you told me that before. Maybe that's why I had it like that. But yeah, okay.
And I do that a little differently than you, Chris, is I actually have, so my general workspace, what that does is it has everything in it except for where I have a specific workspace. So I actually go in and remove tags from the general workspace. So like I take out all the writing ones, anything with action scripting, anything with journaling, all that stuff comes out. So it's actually, it's kind of like an inbox, but in a reverse way where it's not untagged. It's just, it's everything else. And I don't have, I have a very love-hate relationship with badges. I do not like them. They cause me anxiety. That's why my home screen is three apps at the bottom, nothing on the first screen, everything in folders on the second screen. And the only thing that gets badges is either messages or reminders. And as soon as I see one pop up, I'm clearing that thing as fast as I can.
Yeah.
That's me.
I'm very similar. I don't like badges. I have them on messages, drafts, and things. And it's basically like my goal is to get all of those down to zero by the end of the day. Or nothing. There is no zero.
No, there is no zero. There's multiple ways you can set this up, I think. And again, that's really, you got to figure out the way your brain wants to make it work.
Yeah. And it's okay if you don't set it up right the way that your brain wants it to work the very first time. Keep tweaking it. Like, I've been using drafts for over 2 years now, and like I've kind of got it set up the way I wanted, but like I'm still making changes to my setup. Mm-hmm. I changed out a bunch of my workspaces, made some a little more detailed, made some a little less detailed. So...
Right. Like, Jeff, you may find out that you want one for ideas and you want one for blogging.
Mm-hmm.
You want those to be separate, right? So that you don't have your ideas cluttering up a workspace. So it's super clean, right?
Yeah.
And you may even want you know, when you're doing your ideas, you may want to have the drafts list to the left, whereas writing, you want a nice clean interface. And there's ways to make that work for you. It's obviously more advanced, but there are ways to make it so that you can really hyper-focus on something if you want to, or get a macro view, or sorry, macro view. That's right. I'm catching myself. You can get a macro view of what you want it to be, like of everything. So, but the key thing really first, the great first step is, what areas of your life do you think you could use drafts for? Create those workspaces, create the tags that you may use, and then start applying those to different drafts, and you're fine. And then when you start bringing things in from Bear, I think you can do that probably with shortcuts, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. So Bear actually has really cool shortcut support, and that's kind of where I'm working at. So what I think my next step is that I'm going to change my tags and stuff from, once I have my system in place for drafts, I'm going to go back into Bear, change those tags, and then automate it in shortcuts to where it'll just take everything, apply those tags to a new draft note for each Bear note, and then it should automatically populate into the correct workspaces that I want. So that's kind of where I'm at. So once I do that, I will share it with people, whether it's in the show notes here or in a blog post or both. So that's kind of where I'm going next. So
good.
Okay. All right. So I think I'm in a good place right now of like where to kind of get started with organizing my notes and making it so I can store my notes in drafts. Where I previously was not doing that, where if I was, it was just in an inbox untagged with no semblance of order. So it's nice to be able to like feel good about like getting this started. And I'm definitely going to be playing around with it today to make it work and all that stuff. So you both better be prepared if I contact you later.
set do not disturb for all day.
You can personally just set Jeff's mute Jeff, you know, that's fine. Hide alerts.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I'll set do not disturb. I mean, I've done that to a couple of people, but I'll do not disturb just because I like sleep, even though I don't get enough of it, but I like sleep. So there you go.
Yeah.
So, all right. But yeah, like Jeff, once you get some of this stuff set up, I think you're going to find that you're going to have other areas of your life. Like for a long time, I didn't know where I was journaling things, and I have that kind of nailed down. I've even tweaked it as of late, and I haven't even written this up. I don't know if I'm going to write it up or not. I've been kind of on the fence about it. But like right now, I used to keep everything in drafts and then send it over to like DevonThink and store it there. And that's the only thing I was really using DevonThink for. So I kind of was like, I don't really need to do this. So I actually have a workflow now that I've created where I write the journal entry. I actually start it from shortcuts, grab a whole bunch of different data. So weather and auto sleep and a couple other little things. I'll pull that in, create my journal for the day, you know, do whatever I need to do in there. And then when I go to save it, I actually have a save to PDF. So I'm saving the journal entry now with PDF so I can have rendered images. I keep those rendered images for whatever reason in Dropbox because iCloud Drive doesn't support renderable image links for whatever reason. I haven't figured out a way to make it work, but I do that. And then using shortcuts, I save it. And then using Scriptable, I actually move it from the shortcuts to the actual journal folder that I want it to be in.
In iCloud Drive or...
Yeah, in iCloud Drive. So the one thing the Scriptable does over shortcuts is you can actually move files from one location to another using the file bookmarks.
Okay, yeah.
So I've been using that because I've actually gotten rid of my paid Dropbox account, gone down to free. So again, like a lot of things that I'm doing as of late is just spring cleaning. It really is cleaning up and streamlining things. So rather than pay for Dropbox, I have like 7 gigs free or like a free account with 7 gigs. And then I actually have, I think it's the 2 terabyte plan now with Apple. I was already giving Apple money for the 200 gig plan. Might as well pay them the money because I know I'm going to store data there anyway. And it gives me more headroom. So that was kind of where I started it was coming up on, you're going to have to pay for another year of Dropbox. Do you want to do this or not? And so I've just been doing that. And that's what started me down this road. So I'm going through very similar to how Chris is and tweaking different things to, you know, that have been in place for a while. So don't be alarmed if you set something up in drafts and say, okay, I need to change this now because this happened, right?
Yeah.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to start doing it. And working from home is probably the time for me to set it up, even though I'm not going into the office. But I've changed roles. So since we last spoke, I've actually gone through quite a bit in my life. I don't mind sharing some of the things publicly, but I actually went through a divorce. Just the way life works, I won't get into specifics, but so I've had to change that. You know, I have the custody of my two kids, and I have to manage a lot of things that way. I've also gotten two promotions in the last 6 months at work. So from that aspect, my role has changed considerably from one of doing the work to one of managing people. Mm-hmm. So whereas I was in charge of work before, now I care for the people in my charge. It's just how things have changed for me. So I'm going through and changing a lot of things to work for me in drafts. I still have a lot of work to go, but you're gonna make those changes. And whereas something like Bear is really great for note taking and it looks good and you can get a lot done with it, this is where I think drafts may have a leg up in that sense, because you can then modify drafts to work for you instead of you working a specific way.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's the real power here. So you're in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. And drafts is definitely way more malleable than most apps that I've tried for note taking. So yeah, I'm excited to get started with this and move forward with it. So, I mean, Chris, do you have any insight or questions or, you know, I feel like I've been kind of taking all of the time here on the podcast. So I mean, you have the floor now, Mr.
I yield my time. No, I have some stuff a little later on that I want to talk about, but I'm really curious to hear from Tim, like, if you've got anything since we've talked last, like, do you have anything in drafts that you're just super excited about that we haven't covered yet?
So, like, this is going to sound weird. All right. So just strap in, everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
Drafts really changed for me, obviously, once Drafts 5 came out. And my use cases changed there. And then when I think it was 5.4, version 5.4 came out, it was like, here's a whole nother batch of stuff where I'm using it for blogging and I don't need a separate app anymore. And I don't need a separate workflow even. I can just publish straight from there. Version 15, which I wrote an article on Mac Stories again for, put out a whole, you know, slew of things. Version 16 brought actions for Mac. Like, there's a bunch of different things that have happened. My use cases have really remained about the same.
Okay.
Like, there's tweaks here and there, but I've kind of got it set up to where these are the things in my life. I'm trying to add a couple of other things. And again, with job changes, my use case maybe needs to change and how I do things needs to change. But for the most part, by and large, I'm actually doing the same stuff that I was back then. And I know that's boring. That's probably the most boring thing, and it's a horrible answer, right? But it's the honest truth. Like, sometimes the best things you can do is put a system in place and have that system just last, right? We're 2 years into this, and other than small improvements and iterations on different workflows, I've had the same stuff in drafts that I did then to now. So that's 2 years of me just sticking with the same app, not being... how do I want to word this? Not getting off into the weeds on other apps and being kind of like, you know, like drawn to those other things. Like very similarly how people are to task managers, right? Oh, I want to switch to this one. I want to switch to this one. I don't feel the need to do that, right? I'm actually using just reminders. And that's as of right now. I think there are a few things coming. And not to spoil it too much, but like there's some like wiki style linking that's coming out, and that I think is coming out next week. So that's not really a spoiler or anything, but like that's going to change some things. And I can start to see a piece of a puzzle that I've been thinking about for a long time when it comes to drafts. I use drafts for everything else. Why would I not use it for my task management?
Mm.
And there's some things here that are going to come that I think once that settles down and into drafts and goes through the beta process and all that stuff, I think that's at a point where I actually can get it to where I may not need a task manager anymore because I have it with drafts, right?
Yeah.
Though that's like, to me, that's the next big hurdle that I want to get over and use drafts. I know, you know, I've talked with Seth Clifford, my co-host for Fundamentally Broken. He and I have talked, and he's actually using a lot of that with like lists. And I know there's a lot of people that use task paper lists. I have ways that I want to use that to extend it and things, but like it's one of these things where I need a few more pieces of a puzzle to make it work for me. It's not that I couldn't make it work now. It's, I want to make it work in the way I want to work. So it's just a matter of time. But I'm really excited about that portion of the future. I've actually written less about drafts in a while, not because of any other reason. Other people have other things to say about it. Other people are putting out their experiences with it. And maybe I've already written about it, or maybe I've already come to that conclusion and I just don't feel like I need to add to a pile, right? I am a person, an expert of drafts, right? I know about it. I've used it, but I'm not the only one, right? There are other people out there that can write about this too and have written mm-hmm. about it. So I'll write when I think I have very poignant things to say. But other than that, I've kind of held off. So, but yeah, things for me have remained the same other than small improvements. So it's a boring answer. It's a couple of minutes of a boring answer, and I apologize, but it's that's the answer.
Well, I think it's just indicative of like how solid it is, you know, where you haven't really had to worry about the syncing on it. You haven't really had to worry about whether the actions are going to work with it. You haven't really had to worry about, you know, if the system you have in place is good enough or works for you, you know, mm-hmm. with it being, you know, tried and true for so long for you. I think it's just indicative of how solid this app is and how you can, you know, once you have your system in place and once you have drafts set up the way that you want, it's pretty much good to go and you don't really have to futz with it too much. And I think that's not a bad answer to have. In fact, I think it's probably a great answer to have for like how drafts is doing for you, since last time we spoke, basically. Like, I mean, as you said before, there's improvements, there's constant improvements, but they're not like game changing improvements of like redoing the entire app kind of improvements. It's just, it's adding things one by one. It's like the exact opposite of death by a thousand cuts. It's like your life by a thousand updates, you know? Like,
yeah. Right. And that's really what it is it's with different things of like, even there's a typewriter mode. I don't know whether that's either out in a release or not. It's been in the beta for a little while. And there's like a highlight for text insertion, even though those are two small little things, those are huge usability improvements. Again, with contextual menus, like it, just being able to press on things. And there's even with that, and if you haven't played with it in a while, like on your phone, you can go to drafts, you have a draft that you've typed up, and then, you know, you can actually, use the contextual menu thing with long pressing on the little drafts logo in the upper right, and it'll bring up your action groups. You can tap on that and you can actually run an action without having to swipe over and tap an action. It's just made it so that you can actually get to any action from anywhere.
Oh, wow.
You know, like that little change, even though it's small, it's a contextual menu, just opens up a whole world of possibilities. And that's why I said, like, there are small improvements, small things that Greg has added over time that have huge implications if you work in that way and that's something that you want to do.
Wow.
Yeah, like seriously, Jeff, like you should be long pressing on everything in there that you can. Like even on tabs, on the menus icons at the bottom, it allows for so many things to switch. That's a huge thing. I didn't even write about that. really hardly at all. I think I wrote about it in my 15 review for Mac Stories, because it was for that one, it was a whole bunch of iOS 13 updates, and that had like automatic switching for iOS stuff. It had the contextual menus, and at that time it wasn't even as much as now. He's been adding those left, right, and center. There's live markdown previews where you can have your writing on the one side and your blog rendered on the other side as a preview if you want. Like, there's all those things that happened, and that was in version 15, and we're about to hit 20. So if you haven't actually looked at it, the change log for iOS, there's one for iOS and macOS. The one for iOS is just staggering. It really is.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out. I cannot say enough good things about how the small usability improvements have just lend itself to, this is the way I want to work going forward. It has been by far and large the best app that I've ever used on iOS for all those right reasons.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm listening to you, but I'm also like having my mind blown with these contextual menus that say that I've been playing with my phone while you've been talking.
Yeah.
I just need a minute. I just need a second to process all this, because I know that the context menus were there, but I didn't realize how robust it was. Wow. Okay. All right.
I just thought you needed a minute to clean up. I'll see myself out.
All right.
I mean, all right. I love Drafts. Like, I started using it when Drafts 5 was in beta, and like, I was kind of starting to get it then, but it was like a few months into it when it really clicked for me, and I realized like, oh, hey, this is the only text editor I need. And I mean, actually, it's not the only text editor. I use Textastic for a lot of like writing code and stuff at work because of just syntax highlighting and stuff like that. But for like note taking, writing like scripts, like my, you know, video scripts and stuff like that, everything for me happens in Drafts. Like, I have two core apps that basically I run my life out of: Drafts and Things. And those are my core.
Yeah. I mean, I'm starting to realize that like Drafts can literally handle everything that involves text, and it can replace my blogging apps, it can replace my note taking apps, it can replace my Scratchpad apps, it can replace I can even like send emails and text messages with it, where I can just have this and everything that involves text and sending it somewhere else. I can just, like I said, I've already had the capture part in, but now like really thinking about this and like really having it kind of click, this could potentially be the only app that I need to write anything in. Other apps that, you know, like Bear, like we've talked about, like that can go out the window. Ulysses, which was like my blogging app of choice, that can go away. There's some other apps and stuff like that I've used. Like, I can kind of let those fall to the wayside and let this one kind of come up from everything else and be the main place for me to have text and writing and stuff like that kind of start, and finish. Like, it could just all be in here.
Well, and that's one of the things that I've, over time, like, if you think about it, like the apps that you might use, right? Ulysses for writing your blog, Bear to store your notes. Let's say you do a journal with Day One. Right? Those are three really good apps. They're phenomenal apps. They have a lot of great features. All said and done, how much of that is for a yearly subscription? How much does that cost?
Almost $100 if I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's what I thought. It was around $100 total. Drafts is 20, and it does all three of those things. For me, I can't beat that. Right. I don't want to. I'd rather figure out the way, like specifically looking at Day One and journaling, I have a lot of those shortcuts to add weather, add my steps, add images, things like that for what I want to do for a journal. I even have things for files and audio recordings, right? So I basically have everything that I need for what would go into Day One. Mm-hmm. I have those in shortcuts. Shortcuts is built into the system. That's likely not going anywhere anytime soon. Or else all of us are going to just cry.
Oh my gosh. Don't
It's not going to go away.
There is no way that that's happening. I will take a hard stance on that. There's no way that's
not going to happen. So I look at this and I go, okay, I'm saving myself $80 a year. And realistically speaking, because I was going to have drafts anyway, I'm actually saving myself $100 a year. And, you know, people get all up in arms over subscriptions versus paid up front. Well, hey, guess what? This for me makes sense. This is a great value proposition where it saves me $100 a year in other subscriptions. And so if you can make it work for you, and if you want to make it work for you, this is a really good spot for you to be in and only having to pay $20 a year. It's not to say that those other apps aren't useful, right? Having great, wonderful apps in an ecosystem allows things to be better, and having that choice and stealing inspiration, as they say, from some other apps is a really good thing. But it's right now for me, yeah, I've the only thing I don't write in drafts is if I ever have to share something with anyone, like, you know, just like a note or whatever, but that's all done in notes. So for me, those are the only two things that I write text in, and 99% of it is in drafts. You know, like I use notes to share like meal plans or something, or, you know, like pertinent information to my parents that, you know, if I'm going on a trip and they're watching my kids or something like that, that's about it.
Yep. And the thing is, you could start it in drafts and then have, you know, an action to basically copy it as rich text and paste it over into notes if that's what you want to. Anyway,
I've done that countless times. So, yeah.
I think like two things that I could really use drafts to get, and it kind of defeats the purpose of drafts as just being like a plain text, like a here's, you know, just write text. But it's the ability to share a draft with somebody and embed some sort of image.
Mm-hmm.
So I am planning my iPadOS 14 walkthrough video right now. Like, I know iPadOS 14 hasn't been announced, but we all know it's going to happen. So I'm kind of planning that whole big deal out, kind of figuring out like all my research materials and stuff like that, like apps I'm going to be using, gear I needed to buy. Like, I'm planning all this now because I took too long last time and it put me behind schedule. And with WWDC being later in June, I'm banking on losing a couple of weeks because I'm still thinking like, hey, I don't think the iPhone announcement will change. I really don't think. And, you know, iOS releases and stuff generally come out that same week. So what the following week. I don't even remember. Whatever. Besides the point, I don't care. So what I want is something that can actually embed images inside the note, not something that can just link to it. Because I don't care about, I don't blog ever. Like, I don't ever write a blog post. So I don't really want something that can just link to it. I need something that can be embedded in. So I've been using like Bear to get things ready for iPadOS 14. Like, I was going to put all my research material in Bear, like images, tweets, links, whatever, just quick thoughts, stuff I need to check out, things like that, and then write the big outline and then write the even bigger script in drafts. But Tim, you mentioned something about the wiki, and is that's coming to drafts? Is that going to embed images? Are we allowed to talk about this?
So yeah, we're allowed to talk about it. It's fine. So wiki style links have been around since Wikipedia started, right? It's not something new. And basically, what it is like, so within a draft, you'll have a double square bracket, and then you could type the title of a name of one of the drafts. Close a double bracket. And what that'll do is actually make a clickable link to the draft with that title.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So now here's the fun part for you. And if you're wanting to use Bear, and I understand like the images is one of those things that I really wish drafts would support in line. It's really hard because it is a text editor first and foremost. And then when you send that text to other places, how does it parse the image? Does it take a link? Does it take the base64, which will crap out any system? Like, how do you get that moved? And it's a hard problem for him to solve. I don't know if he'll ever go that route. I don't think that's something he's ever interested in doing, but maybe he will. Who knows? If enough people write in about it, maybe he'll do something. That's on him. With Bear, he has actually made it so that there are a few apps at launch, and I don't have those handy, but there's going to be a few apps at launch. Bear is one of those apps that will support this. So there's going to be a little syntax, and I don't know whether it's a B colon or bear colon, whatever, but you'll be able to actually link to bear using drafts in that same way.
Oh.
So you'll have these little links in line. So you will actually be able to, if you want to do this for research, so you could, you know, you're going to be writing your review or the script for your review in drafts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Typically I do like a big outline of like all the stuff I want to hit on, and then I'll write like a big, script.
So in your outline, you have a workspace for your iOS 14 review, and each one of your drafts inside of that is like a chapter, let's say, for lack of a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Inside of that, underneath the title line, you could have this link to a bear note that's your research.
That's interesting. Okay, so like bear could end up being the database, and then I could just link to everything. So I could just have like one big draft document that has all my research stuff to it, and then I could just go to there while keeping...
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Okay, that's really interesting. That would work.
Yeah, and that would work. And for what you're doing, like that makes a lot of sense, right? If I was doing those kind of big reviews, I might do the same thing. I generally speaking, like anymore, I'll be using files. Because there was actually a tip that I recently learned, and I didn't know this, and this was great. I heard it actually from John Voorhees that, so if you're on a web page and you screenshot it, there's a, instead of being a single page or a single image or something like that, you can go over to full page. If you do that, you can actually make that image into a PDF using shortcuts. And it's a fully searchable PDF.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, huh? What? So I think anymore, what I'll end up doing is throwing that into files, because then I can pick it up and search. And that might be my research tool. It's just for the way that my stuff works. For you, it's different. But I think with this deep linking stuff, you'll be able to do some of that. I think it's going to be really cool.
Is the wiki going to be supporting files?
That's a good question. I don't know.
No, that's fine. I just because I was like, well, then I could just create a folder and then just link stuff.
Yeah, true.
Maybe there's a way you could do it with like Toolbox Pro, like with a callback URL or something.
I'm looking. It kind of does the callback URL stuff. So that's where some of this stuff actually is. I'm trying to find. So okay. So what he's gonna have here is the title of the draft, UUID, a search term. So it'll open to a specified search term, which I don't... Oh, there's a way to Google search term, so you can do that. Wikipedia search term. So for the bear stuff, it's bear colon and then the title of the note. And that effectively uses the URL scheme, right? It uses a search URL scheme from that app. So that's how he's implementing some of this stuff. One of the actual use cases that he was looking at for some people is like people that want to write chapter, you know, novels or books or whatever, you could do that and make a table of contents and have your different chapters and stuff.
That's awesome.
As you were saying, Chris, you know, you could have your outline, right? And like IA Writer is one of those apps that has like, you can make a table of contents and do that. I know Federico Vitici uses that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He uses, the outline feature. So you can do that within drafts now too. It's not quite the same. You probably need to script some things to make it so that it pulls in everything if you wanted to output one big file of it. But yeah, you can start deep linking and make your own personal wiki kind of stuff within drafts now, which is for some people, it's not going to be value added, right? It's not going to be something that they're going to use. But for other people, power users are like, that's something huge.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. You said it was coming out next week. Is it coming out to the test flight next week, or is that good? Like,
no, it's already actually out in the test
flight. Is it really? Am I not in the test flight right now?
If you aren't, send him a message.
I know I have the test flight access. I just don't. Oh, I haven't updated it. Oopsies. No, my test flight shows that it's version 19.3. Huh.
So yeah, no, 19.3 is probably correct.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Let's see. Yeah. 19.3. He's going to release it as 20 though.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So
I just haven't been paying attention to the change log then.
Yeah. Right. Gotcha. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty cool. Okay. I will have to give this a shot. Luckily iPad OS 14 hasn't been announced yet, so I still have some time to, you know, kind of change some stuff, move some stuff around and with like kind of my setup, because last year I took way too long to kind of get like the core of it all going, and it did not end well for me.
And also, like, iOS 13 was a crazy beta season. Like, hopefully iOS 14 is a little bit more lax, for lack of a better word. Like, iOS 13 had some problems, I'll say.
My sincere hope for iOS 14 there. So actually with all of this stuff, like, I actually have a new setup, and that's actually probably the most recent thing I've written about. I have a new setup that, you know, when all of the stuff in the after times has happened, I decided that I needed to have a better workspace. So I've had a podcast studio area of my basement, but it wasn't working well for me for actually working, you know, doing 8 hours a day or whatever, not being able to sit down, only standing. It wasn't going to work well. So I ended up buying a new desk. I ended up changing the whole thing, and it's actually been really fun. I have lights overhead, like the can lights, and I changed out the bulbs to all be, you know, daylight, because I'm in a basement. But I built a light box and did some fun things to make it really like a nice office. So I've been actually using my iPad plugged in to a monitor, and that's how I've been working. I think I've used my work laptop a total of maybe a dozen times since we started, and that was on March 16th. So it's been 2 months, and I've been using my iPad only connected to the monitor. So from my standpoint, what I would like to see in iOS 14 is really, truly so a lot of refinements, but I want better external monitor support. I want to be able to actually fill the screen up and maybe use it in a different way. And maybe that's coming, right? But that's something that I really wish that they would do, is that fixing a few things here and there and make it a nice, stable release for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really needs to happen. They had a horrible, atrocious year. They delayed features left, right, and center because they just weren't ready. And rather than do that, I would actually like Apple to come in and say, all right, here is iOS 14. Here's what you're going to get this date. We're going to have another release a few months later. Here's what you're going to get in this release. Let them start developing year-round and implementing things when they're ready, rather than rushing them just to hit a big feature release.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas the developers now in this subscription model, right? And if you look at Apple and what they're doing, right? iPhones and iPads and all that stuff, Macs, they're releasing those every so often. And that's your subscription pricing, right? The iOS is free, but the subscription pricing is really the devices and the hardware. They have to do big feature updates with those releases to kind of offset that cost. We're getting to a point where a lot of these devices are good. I'm using the 2018 because iPad Pro, because the 2020 just isn't worth me going out to the store and dropping money on it. I only upgraded my phone to the iPhone 11 Pro because my son needed a phone, and I gave him my 10S. Just because he had a horrible phone. It just wasn't holding up, and the battery needs to be replaced. But otherwise, I would have kept my phone. I have a Series 4 watch. I'm not pining for new devices. I'm pining for better software. And I'd rather see them take almost a drafts-like approach and iterate on a monthly basis or an every two-month basis of, let's add this feature, let's add this feature, rather than wait year over year to update things. It's just not good. There's so many things that they could improve with shortcuts instead of waiting year over year. There's things with reminders and notes and calendars, the apps that they use, and or at least they should use, that could be better on an every couple of month basis for everybody. And I'd like to see them take that approach. I really don't like this whole, here's all your features at one time, and then you don't get anything for a year. It's kind of lame.
Yeah. I also think it would allow for the Apple developers to really hone in on the features that they're going to put out one at a time and make sure that they're correct, as opposed to trying to create 12 different features to come out once a year and have them not necessarily work because they, you know, they have too many irons in the fire, you know? Like, I think that to have it be more of a staggered pace with that kind of stuff would allow for the issues that we had with iOS 13 and you know, features not working properly or being delayed entirely. It would allow for them to have a better average of like giving an update without any problems, you know, or minor problems at best, as opposed to updates that literally break things and make them unusable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think for the other thing that I'm really interested for the iOS 14 review, Chris, that you're going to do, because I know you're going to be editing video. Are you going to get that LumaFusion keyboard cover?
So I really wanted it. I almost panic bought it because I saw it and I was like, oh, I want it before it gets sold out.
Wait, what is this?
If you look in the show notes, Tim put a link in there. Basically, it is, you know how a lot of video editors, especially like in film school when you're just learning like Premiere Pro or Final Cut or whatever, they will have like this plastic cover that goes over a keyboard, or sometimes people will get like stickers and put them on like the keys. And what this will do is it'll show you the shortcuts, the keyboard shortcuts to a specific program. So some people have some for Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere, Final Cut, Avid, whatever. So LumaFusion just came out with one. But the problem is it's only for the Smartfolio keyboard. And I don't have a Smartfolio keyboard anymore. I sold that with my iPad. So I only have the Magic Keyboard now. So I won't get that one. But if they do make one for the Magic Keyboard, I will get it. I don't know if I would use it, to be honest, because I've been using LumaFusion since 2016. I don't know, since whenever it came out. I think that was 2016, so almost 4 years now. And I have pretty much all the keyboard shortcuts memorized that I use.
Mm, okay.
So, because there's not that many. There's a lot. There is definitely a lot. But I have the ones that I need memorized. So I don't know if I would end up using it, but I would probably definitely buy it.
Yeah, I looked at it, and LumaFusion's an app that I downloaded, I think actually because of you, Chris. I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll download it. I'll get it. I've opened it a couple of times. I just don't do a whole lot of video editing. It's not in my thing. Maybe there's a spot for that in the future. I don't know. I've been toying around with that for a while, but I thought about buying this because I am a person that did not buy the Magic Keyboard. I didn't jump on that one. And it's not because it's not a good product. I know it's a great product. A lot of people are happy with it. It just doesn't fit my use case, right? I posted a thing it's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine.
Right. Like there's millions of Macs produced every year and not a single one of them is for me. It's just, it's the same kind of thing. And so like I have the Smart Keyboard Folio and I was like, this might be really good. But then I'm also thinking of like how I'm working right now. I'm talking to you guys. I'm staring at a 27 inch monitor. I'm not looking at my iPad. I'm looking at the monitor. And so for me, I don't even know that I would use something like this. I'd rather have the little stickers, as you said. I think that'd be kind of a little bit better for my use case. And this caught my eye and I was like, oh, this would be kind of cool. And I hope they do actually make one for the Magic Keyboard. I think that'd be kind of a neat addition.
I don't see how they don't. I looked at like the Twitter comments and stuff on it, and every single Twitter comment was, this is cool. Went to go buy it just for the Smartfolio keyboard. Please make one for the Magic Keyboard. And it was just like, I was like, yeah, I think it was just unfortunate timing because I'm sure it took them a while to produce this. So I'm sure they started producing it probably before the Magic Keyboard was ever even announced. So it's just it's kind of like the Bridge Keyboard. Like it's kind of unfortunate timing for them too that the Magic Keyboard came out. So yeah, but I would love to have something like that. I don't know if I would use it. I really hate like plastic covers on keyboards and stuff like that. I hate that mushy feel. But yeah, it's an interesting product.
I like your idea of putting stickers on. I really do. I think that would actually be something that even for my Smart Keyboard, I or any keyboard really, is if I started using an app like that more and more, I would definitely put that stuff on there. I think that would be a great idea because I've toyed around with getting, you know, a clicky keyboard and whatnot for a while, but I mean, I'm cheap. So it's just not going to happen. But I think that would be something that if I started using editing software a whole lot more, that's probably what I'd do. Like I would love one of these for Ferrite, I think it would be great, right?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
You know what you guys could do is if you have a Cricut, because my wife just got a Cricut, you can make your own stickers and actually put them on your keyboard.
Why'd your wife get a Cricut? What are you going to take it into class? You put a leash on it or something?
No. A Cricut. I hope wow. you're joking.
I am joking. I know what a Cricut is. I know what a Cricut is. It was too easy not to.
She's a teacher, so she makes a bunch of, she needs it for a bunch of, she actually needs it for her work, believe it or not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I keep hearing that one. I keep saying it too. I needed 2 iPad Pros for my work, so. And an Aperture 120 D Mark II, but you know that too.
Yeah. We nerds need programming stuff and video editing and stuff like that. Right. But there are people that I'll call them crafting nerds. They really like crafting. Right. And some of the stuff that machine can do, like actually because of the smart keyboard cover and the magic keyboard cover material, I can't stand it. I'm actually going to I'm trying to get the dimensions to have it cut out just sheets of vinyl so I can put stickers over top of that. So I don't have to worry about the material like wearing and, you know, wrinkling and all that other stuff that I've seen other keyboards do. I want to do that so I can have it be better protected. Like it's basically like a making a D brand skin on your own.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you need to get some calipers.
I already have like 3 sets. It's more the figuring out the radii to use.
Yeah.
Right. If I can get that, cause I'm anal retentive when it comes to stuff like that. It's just my nature. And so I would actually want it to be a nice consistent outline all the way around, have it offset slightly from the edge. I'm weird.
So really
quick. No, you're not weird. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Really quick. I did get the wiki stuff to work in drafts. I just wasn't doing it right. But yeah, this is really cool. I'm glad that it supports Bear. I would love for something like Things to be supported or something like that, but I don't know how possible that is because Things is not great about getting data out of it. It's only good about putting data in.
But what this is doing, it's not necessarily getting data out. What you're doing is you're tapping a link and going into Bear, into that specific note. So what you could do is have it be for a project or an area. I would send it in, right? It should be simple enough to add.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. And I can see him getting a lot of requests for, can you support Things, OmniFocus, Todoist, you know, like I can see him starting to do that.
Yeah.
But also remember, syntax highlighting is coming and some of this stuff may be extendable in that way. So you can,
what do you,
you can do that.
I guess I'm not following, like by syntax highlighting, what do you mean by that?
So my day job, I write a lot of PowerShell for my day job. So instead of it being highlighted for Markdown, so instead of it showing the format for Markdown, it would be highlighting for PowerShell and how PowerShell is written.
Oh, so there's going to be, okay.
Is that just basically, isn't that just red, purple, blue, and orange, right? Those PowerShell Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Just making sure.
Yeah, no, it's and like I've been doing some more other stuff for work that I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it or not. My job is really weird. I'm like, there's some stuff I am just flat out not allowed to ever speak about.
I think some people think you work for the NSA.
No, man, you got to know me better than that. I'm so anti-government. I'd be the only way I'd work for the NSA is to take it down from within. Yeah, thug life.
All right, Snowden Jr.
Yeah,
basically.
But no, the syntax highlighting for drafts. So what you see in a dark mode, light mode, and you can use JavaScript and task paper and multi markdown and markdown and all those different formats that drafts already has. Those are syntaxes, and so what you can do, and this is something that he's teased publicly about, like, hey, this is going to come. And he's already put out some documents to kind of get feedback of how to implement this the best way, where you're going to be able to make it what you want. And I don't know whether that's just going to extend to custom syntaxes. So, for example, like, you know, Chris, for your stuff, maybe you want your bare note links to be red.
Yeah.
Versus Things to be blue. Those sorts of things. But he may also open up theming, right? He's talked about it. before. He's talked about it on podcasts before.
They have it in Mac, kind of. Like, you can customize the preview, like a print preview. You can customize that and, like, upload.
Not even that.
Yeah, no, this...
I'm talking the actual look, like, if you want a black background with red icons, you want that, you can make that.
Ooh.
Right? Like, that sort of highlighting. I don't know if he's going to do that at the same time. He's kind of teased it. I think that's going to be a summertime release. I think he's going to roll that in with everything from, iOS 14. I would imagine that's probably what's going to happen, because I think that'd be a good feature to implement at that time. But yeah, that kind of thing opens up a whole lot. I guess it opens up so many other opportunities that I really think once that's out there, as I said before, some of what I want to do may be a whole lot more possible. And I'll leave it at that. I think it's going to be an interesting thing to write up. That may be, I thought my drafts reviews have been a lot of words. That may be probably the last thing, last major one I may write, because it's a big one. And so that one may be more than the original review itself. Like, it's going to be, yeah. So I have thoughts, I have feelings, I've had ideas down for that kind of stuff since the launch of drafts originally. And I've just been waiting for him to implement it. And once it's implemented, I'll be able to write a whole lot more for some other fun things.
That's pretty awesome. We'll have to have you back on when that all happens and stuff and talk about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Please.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know if I could use drafts as my task manager. I mean, I guess it just depends on the implementation and how it ended up working out and stuff like that. But, like, I use drafts right now. Like, I have some shortcuts and stuff that I use it as a checklist. So I anytime, like, I pack, like... I guess I'm not going on trips anymore, but I have a shortcut now that basically it has a dictionary of a bunch of stuff that I pack, like different things, like if it's an overnight travel, and if I pick overnight travel, it asks how many days I'll be gone, and then it lets me select all that stuff, and then I'll just make a checklist and draft. So as I'm packing, I could just tap and mark things off, and it's really nice. And it just uses task paper for that.
Yep.
See, I actually do use drafts as a pseudo task manager already. Thanks to your help, Tim, a while ago, I used task paper for like my morning and evening routines. So I have like a standard checklist that I have that doesn't go into things. It just stays in drafts because I'm trying to make a morning routine where I make time to write, whether that's getting up earlier before my day job and writing for an hour or whatever. But I also have things like, you know, make breakfast, the usual stuff you usually do in the morning, whether that's, get breakfast, have a glass of water, get your tasks and stuff in order and add those. And so I will go through all of that stuff and mark them as done as needed. And then I have an action to basically update the date for the next day, clear all done tasks and keep it and have it flagged if it's not flagged already, and have that ready for the next day, and just have that ready to go. Cause that way it doesn't clutter up my task management where I have like my big projects and stuff and things. But like my evening routines and like that more habitual items I have as like different task paper items in drafts.
Yeah. That's one thing I really like using drafts for is like, I know for me, I have every Saturday I go through a morning review a weekly review in the morning, a cup of coffee, sit down, do that. And then like one of the lists that I have in drafts is like a fixes and updates list for my house. Like all the little stuff that either I want to change, like specifically to like outlets. Like I want to change this outlet because I notice the plug's getting a little loose when I'm plugging something in. So I want to put a new one in. Mm-hmm. Something as small as that to I want to remodel my backyard. Okay. So it's got those little checklist items in there, but it's a single task that I put in that repeats every Saturday. And it's, the way I actually did that was I used my phone for it and I just told Siri to remind me of this.
Yeah.
And it creates that little rich link, icon similar to how Notes does or a Safari web page does or whatever. It's got the little drafts logo there. So I click that and it takes me into that specific note. that's what I've been using reminders for a while now. And it's been really great to just use that because, as you said, it doesn't clutter up your task management system. And I find that having a less cluttered task management system, and here we are going back to clutter, I tend to get more done when that's not cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to focus more. And so using it for things that I know I need to do within a week or things that are upcoming is kind of where I've settled on my use. I do a lot more lists and drafts, and then things I'm taking action on are in reminders. So it's the way I've been working for like the last like year. So it's been pretty solid. That really hasn't changed much, which is great. Similarly to my uses of drafts, but doing it in that way just makes it so my mind's a little more clear and I can still capture ideas, still capture everything in drafts. And if I need to action on it, I could throw it over to reminders or I can add it to any one of my lists and I'll be fine.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tim, for coming on. We really appreciate it. Where can people find your work on the internet?
So let's see. Nahumik.me is probably the place to find most everything. I'm at Nahumik on Twitter. My podcast, Fundamentally Broken, is kind of on hiatus right now. Not because of any other reason other than we didn't know where else to take the show at this 5 minutes. There's been some things that we want Anchor to improve if we were going to potentially utilize that. But right now, show's on hiatus. We'll come back when we feel it's right to do so. But for now, just my website and Twitter. It's probably where the best places are to find me.
I will say I do really enjoy your podcast, and there's a few episodes where you talk about drafts and stuff like that I think are pretty timeless. So we will link to that in the show notes. Jeff, link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, I will do that, and then I'll probably have links to all the different posts that were mentioned on your site, Tim, and have those as well. So I'm going to be doing some pretty heavy show notes stuff here for this episode, which is great. So feel free to check them out. And if you want to find them over on aslabofglass.com, you can find the show notes there as well as all the other episodes that we've had with Tim. I think, Tim, you're the most recurring guest on A Slab of Glass right now.
I think he's actually tied with Alex.
No, I think he's up by one because we've had Alex on twice and we've had Tim on three times.
Oh, have we really? Oh, I forgot. So. My mind's broken. I don't remember anything anymore. Time doesn't work.
All right. So I'm in a competition with Alex. Cool.
Yeah.
They'll be thrilled.
Yeah. Chris, where can they find you and your work?
I don't know. Just Google search me. It's somewhere. No, you can go to theuntitledsite.com. Links to my YouTube channel, Instagram. All sorts of different things. I may be working on a new podcast that has nothing to do with technology. Well, very, very takes a sidestep to technology that I haven't told anyone about. So keep an eye out for that.
Including me. What these secrets? These secrets, man.
I haven't told anyone.
Save it for the after show. Save it for the after show.
I haven't told anyone yet. Yeah, no, I'm not telling anyone just yet because it's not official. But it may be happening here pretty soon.
Cool, man. All right, and you can find me over at jeffperry.blog. I'm Jeff Perry on Twitter. Those are kind of like the main places. If you want to sign up for my newsletter, it's going to come back weekly pretty shortly. And if you want to sign up for that, it's over at clicked.email. And you can sign up there and get weekly emails from me and more in-depth stuff that I've either written about or chose to have only for my newsletter people. So,
and Jeff is going to write that entirely in drafts, because if he doesn't, I'm going to be really upset that we just wasted an hour and a half.
Yeah, if you stop writing that in drafts, I'm not coming.
Yeah, exactly. Let me rephrase. Jeff, if you ever stop using drafts again, the podcast is over.
Okay. All right. I won't let you guys down, I promise.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. See ya.